Hello. Hello. Malcolm. Hi, Malcolm. I thought I had a bad connection. I could hear faint, faint voices in the background. Well, there was a lot of static too, so I don't think he's come on yet, though.
Okay.
You know, sometimes when the weather's cold like this, it gets, you know, it's a bad connection.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to move it through. I've got to check on that pie and cooking.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Is it just you?
No, Malka was on, but she had to go check on her pie.
Okay.
So she muted and she said she'd be back.
All right. I'm going to need about 5 minutes because I had a second phone that somebody brought, but it's not working for us. So in about 5 minutes, I'll come back on and we'll start.
Okay, I think I'll just stay on.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
we're at section two, chapter two, section three, right?
I thought we were doing the Anubha Co-op tonight.
No, uh-huh. That would be Sunday. That would be Sunday.
Okay, so we're on reincarnation then?
Right. I just confirmed where we're starting.
I think I'm better in the bigger in this room than in.
But I can't use it.
Oh.
I can't hear the talking.
Oh.
I'm not sure, Hanok.
Okay.
Started here on December 1st with section, chapter 2, section 3, but I didn't mark where we stopped, which I usually do.
So it's chapter 2, section 3 is where I think we stopped, so we'll start there.
Section 3?
Yes, okay. Section 3.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll
stay on. Because, okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I have to go back.
I know.
And I'll come out afterwards.
Okay.
And answer your question.
I can't give an answer. And
I'll follow up on it.
Okay. So I'm on here?
You're on.
Okay. I just feel like I can get more air here.
Hello.
He said he'd be back in just. He said he'd be back on in just a minute.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Anil?
How are you, Patricia?
Yes, it's hard for me to hear you.
I understand.
Do I need to? I can hear you if I pick up my phone and hold it.
That's probably the best thing for what you're doing right now.
Okay.
You have to figure out how to get it louder on that phone. That's the problem.
Okay. Yeah. Right now,
as long as you can hear me, that's fine.
Yes, I can. I've got it in my ear.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa.
Mm-hmm.
Anabakoa.
Anabakoa.
Gadula to me
and
the letters of the month of Kislev, the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet of righteousness, the planet Jupiter, and the Samech that created the constellation Keshet, which is the rainbow or the bow. Some people think it's the archer. And the it's the astrological sign of Sagittarius. Together, the Samech and the Gimel have a gematria 63, which connects us to the energy store of Bina. Na gibor,
or
shalom rev. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barhem tacharem, Sit Katha, Tasim Kadosh, Yachid Geir Ramcha Pene Good Gimelamed Ezayan Ku Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatzi
Akatenu
Yo De Shinku brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the negative and the positive attributes of that creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yehovah. El Rachum Lechachum Erech Alpayim Ural Chetzid Ve'emet Notzechem Sedla Lafim Nesherawam Vachesha Vachata V'nakei. We're now going to read the verses that connect to the various years, starting with this year of 5777, the year of the goat. And the first verse is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of this verse, we're able to parse it into three Hebrew words, tatzkiach, which translates as appear like brothers.
Say that, what, of brothers?
Appear like brothers.
Appear like brothers, okay.
And the final letters of the verse can be permutated into two Hebrew words, dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. These translations and these five words that we've created all connect to the energy of this year of 5777, the year of the vote of the goat. The second verse that we utilize for this year has concealed within it the name of the year spelled out, Tashin Ayin Zion. And those letters are separated each by seven letters. The verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Eloheichem Adivaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazel. Now the two verses that connect to the year 5776, the year of the pause. The first of those two verses is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Racha kohanim ha'yulima v'lo yaklu lehashiv et kol ha'olot v'yechaskum achechem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha Yad Yitzhak Shu HaKohanim Ki HaLevim Yishrei Levav Lehit Kadesh Me HaKohanim. The verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter, we're able to permutate it into eight names of God. Adonai Yehovahe, la la hey, wa wa wa, yo la yo, alame, hey hey hey, aka arekacha. The second verse for the year 5775, the year of the pause, is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidru ba Adonai Yohewahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tulam. There are three verses that connect to the year 5775, the year that death is swallowed up forever, ever, potentially. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo Yishemimeli Lo Tarpeni Adili Yishimi. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru Udu Mikol Hamachazo Yia. Asher Yidchabe Sham Mushazon Eli El Nahum. Wehalati Yitem Wehayim Yashna. Sayet Vehipasti. O Tov B'kol Alfei Yehuda. Job chapter 20, verse 7 is the third verse. Kigelo lanetzah yoved roal yom ruayom. There's one verse for the year 5774, the energy of which is peace in the Middle East. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati b'shakam. Ta'ata zelo yirgaz od velo yesifu. B'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher b'rishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, that has the energy of certainty. And we'll start with L'Hashem Yehud. L'Hashem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Mishkite Bichilu Urchimu Chilu Urchimu Urchimu Le'achda L'Hashem Yehud He Bavav He Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Hamaduna Elohim U'alein Ma'asei Yadenu Kunanei Elein Ma'asei Yadenu Kunanehu Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Anenan Bekucha Berichu kol madi aved le'ela v'tata. Kola yivu kishot v'ovada. Dikshot v'leit lach mila yal madi v'ae. Parnach l'dachya le'ya mineya. Ulam haga be'ya. Galana de Hakulu Ovada dikshot inun wikola Itzderich bealma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Sadiqim. The Tzaddikim who chose to leave today, today is the 9th of Kislev, and it's a good day to connect to the Zohar and the for Parnassah and sustenance. Rabbi Nosson ben Rabbi Tzvi Trevitzer, Rabbi Dov Ber Schneerson of Lubavitch, believe he was the 5th. Of the 7 Chabad Rebbes. Mm-hmm. And the eighth verse of the Anabakoach we say in a whisper. Today's class is Advanced Reincarnation. You can find that on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, row 11, the second column from the left. When you open that up, scroll down to class number 6, and we're actually starting with 6A, class 6A. And it starts chapter 2, section 3, receiving an ibur.
Receiving, say it again, receiving
an ibur. I'll explain what a ibur is as we go forward.
Okay.
In this section, the Arizal, Rabbi Isaac Luria, will disclose new information concerning the concept of ibur, which he has already discussed in chapter 1, section 5. First, however, he will review the important rule that we have been studying in this chapter, namely, if a nefesh achieves tikkun, correction, only in a subsequent gilgul, incarnation, and not in its first lifetime, then it cannot receive a ruach in the same gilgul. The person must first die, chas v'shalom, and then his nefesh and ruach will be reincarnated together. If a nefesh reincarnates and becomes rectified through its actions to the point that it is ready for its ruach, he cannot receive this ruach as it has been explained. If it is not his very first gilgul, then two or three levels of soul cannot become unified in one gilgul without great need, as we will mention later. Rather, each one requires its own gilgul. Only in the first gilgul can the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama be rectified within one body. Remember this rule of reincarnation. My commentary. Also remember the idea of the corrected nefesh of the ger and how it stays with the blemished ruach even after death when it settles in the Garden of Eden as a neighbor. What is hinted to but not said explicitly is the corrected nefesh of the ger does not have a ruach of its own. This is what took place on Mount Sinai, when the Jewish nation of souls was injected with a larger desire to receive. They received the level of neshama by receiving this additional desire to receive. They received the level of neshama by receiving, this desire to receive came from the soul root of the ger, at least in my opinion. This is why that particular corrected nefesh had the necessary affinity for the blemished ruach. First, the nefesh needs to be rectified, and even when this happens, he will not receive his ruach until after he dies. Then the nefesh can reincarnate and merit the ruach. The same is true of the two of them. If they become rectified to the point that they are ready to receive their neshama, they cannot receive it until they reincarnate again. Then they can merit their neshama. As we have already learned, only in the first gilgul can the nefesh, ruach, and neshama be rectified within one body. After that, the person must reincarnate to move from level to level, even if he finishes one level early. What happens for the nefesh that is already rectified but lacks a ruach? We are talking about after the first gilgul, when it is not possible to receive another level of his soul without reincarnation. What happens, though, in the meantime, until reincarnation, if the nefesh is already rectified. This is the sod, the secret. From the same level of purity and extent of correction attained by this nefesh, there will reincarnate into the body of this person while he is still alive the nefesh of a righteous tzaddik that has already completed gilgulim and rectification and does not need to reincarnate here. By entering here, the nefesh of this tzaddik takes the place of the ruach of this person. A regular Gilgul involves reincarnation from one lifetime to another. Thus, from the time that the nefesh has become rectified, the nefesh of a righteous person will enter him and fill the role of the ruach that cannot come down. Sometimes it is even possible for the souls of early tzaddikim, such as the nefesh of our patriarch Abraham, or similar souls to reincarnate. This depends upon the tikkun and the purification of the nefesh person. The gilgulim of this, which occurred during the lifetime of a person, are called by the rabbis the sod, the secret of the ibur. And this is the basic difference between a regular gilgul and an ibur. The translation of the Hebrew word ibur is pregnant. According to what we have learned here, a regular gilgul involves reincarnation from one lifetime to another. An ibur, on the other hand, is the impregnation of a person by the soul of a rectified righteous tzaddik. Because the nefesh has completed its tikkun, but it cannot receive the ruach without reincarnating, since the tikkun did not take place in its very first gilgul. My commentary. There is another type of ibur when a tzaddik has been reincarnated into a lower level of consciousness, like the material level, a rock or a river, or a plant or an animal. Then this soul needs to move up the chain to reincarnate into a human. Sometimes this happens by the process of ingestion. The plant taking in nutrients from the dissolved rock or river water, which includes the incarnated soul. Then this plant is eaten by an animal who elevates the incarnated soul to the next level. Finally, the soul moves on to the level of the human by being eaten by a human. And this usually happens by the soul of a righteous person being in a fish that comes to a Shabbat table. This can also happen when a kosher animal comes to a Shabbat table. Only then the incarnated soul is not a righteous person as of yet. You should also realize that these elevations can only happen during certain months of the year for certain actions. An incarnated soul in a rock or a river can only elevate during Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, or Tammuz. During Av, Elul, Tishrei, and Heshvan, the soul can move from the plant level to the animal level. During Kislev, Tevet, Shabbat, and Adar, the soul can move to the human level. While in the human level, the soul assists the human in achieving a particular correction associated with a particular mitzvah. Using that mitzvah, until that mitzvah is done and the correction achieved, the soul is an ibur for that human. That's the end of section 3. Are there any questions?
I can't hear anyone else if they're asking questions.
They're not. They usually okay. mute their phones, and when they need to ask a question, they unmute them.
Okay.
So the next section is section 4, and it's titled The Ibur of Righteous Souls. Sometimes it is possible, even in this late period of history, for the ruach of a righteous tzaddik, even from one of the forefathers, to come as an ibur. It will all depend upon the level of the mitzvot being performed by the person. Some mitzvot have the power to draw down the nefesh of a righteous tzaddik into ibur, whereas others can draw down the ruach of the tzaddik. My commentary. The tzaddik, if it comes to a person, will be from the same root as that person's soul. Since all Jewish souls stem from the patriarchs, each person, including a physical convert, has the same possibility of receiving the help of the patriarchs. It is also possible for a person to receive the nefesh of one righteous person, and after that merit another nefesh from another righteous person, even greater than the first. In such a case, he will have his own nefesh, the nefesh of the first righteous person, as his ruach, and the second higher nefesh acting in the place of his neshama. Thus, in one lifetime, he can merit a ruach and a neshama, though not his own. Or perhaps the nefesh will be perfected to the point that after already receiving the nefesh of a righteous person, he will merit the ruach of a second righteous person, even possibly the ruach of Abraham the patriarch. There is no generation in which there is not someone like Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob, like Moses, like Samuel. In this case, the ruach of the second tzaddik will act as his neshama, and the nefesh of the first tzaddik will act as his ruach. This is the inner meaning of what they wrote in the Midrashim, in particular the Midrash Shmuel. There is no generation in which there is not someone like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Samuel, etc. There are many others. In other words, there are people in every generation who may actually have the nefesh or ruach of these great people from the past. There is no pen that will prove sufficient to record all the details in a book. Nevertheless, an understanding person will comprehend and make the necessary inferences on his own. In summary, based upon the tikkun and purification of a particular nefesh, it can even merit a neshama from the earliest generations, including the most elevated of all. And it can happen even in this generation of ours.
Mm.
Furthermore, it is exactly the same when a nefesh and ruach reincarnate together and become rectified, but are unable to acquire their neshama without first dying and reincarnating. They can receive the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama of a righteous tzaddik as an ibur, and it will act as their neshama. All the details that were described in the case of the nefesh alone that has completed its tikkun will apply here also. On occasion, it can happen that all three levels of soul will reincarnate together and become rectified. Then the nefesh or the ruach of a righteous tzaddik may impregnate him as an ibur. When he leaves this world, he will ascend to the same level as the righteous tzaddik that came to him as an ibur. in the world that is coming, you will actually be on that same level. Although his own soul was not originally on that same level as that of the righteous Sadiq, he has now merited ascending to that level forever. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that in that world, the world that is coming, both he and Rav Hamuna Saba would be shining together. This is the inner meaning of what is written in the introduction to the Zohar Bereshit. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai fell on his face, and he saw Rabbi Hamuna Saba. He said that in that world, the world that is coming, both he and Rav Hamuna Saba would be shining together. Since the soul of Rav Hamuna Saba was within Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai as an Ibur, they would be on the same level in the world that is coming. This is enough. My commentary is, do you think it is enough? Why does a righteous soul come as an Ibur and due to this effect cause the rising of the soul of a person to reach a level higher than originally merited? Is there no bread of shame associated with this? Yet, as was said above, one who has reached the appropriate level will know. It's the end of section 4. Are there any questions?
No.
We can go to class 6C. Looking for section 5, which is on the page 6C, but you have to scroll down. The reason for the Ibur of a righteous soul, section 5. Ibur occurs for two reasons. First, through the Ibur of the righteous, the nefesh of a person can become rectified to the level of the nefesh of the righteous Sadiq. In the world that is coming, he will ascend to that level, since the righteous Sadiq will have helped him to add mitzvot and holiness to his life. This reason serves the person receiving the Ibur himself. The second reason is for the sake of the righteous person, who was the Ibur. By helping the other person to perform mitzvot and rectification, he gains a portion in them. This is the sod, the secret of what Chazal wrote, "Great are the righteous people, for even in death they merit children." In other words, when they cause the person to increase his merit, they become like fathers who guide and help. This is to his merit. The righteous Sadiq who had entered as an Ibur is like a spiritual internal navigation system for the host person. For this service, the Sadiq will also receive reward through the mitzvot he is helping the person to perform, and the holiness he is helping to increase. My commentary. Do you think it is from this comment by Rabbi Teicher that other Kabbalists learn that a tzaddik or righteous person is someone who does the right thing? Or do they learn this from other places and other hints? Continuing to read. The righteous person which enters a person and assists him during his life as an Ibur and not as a Gilgul easily attains reward and is distant from loss. The phrase easily attains reward and is distant from loss is an expression used in the Talmud regarding the laws of monetary investments and interest. It is borrowed here to describe the secure benefit accruing to the righteous soul in the circumstance of being an Ibur. Every time the person does a mitzvah, he, the righteous soul, receives reward. This is a secret of what is written. A righteous person receives his reward and the reward of his friend in the Garden of Eden. Understand this deep secret well, though now is not the time to discuss it at length. My commentary. The Chagiga section in the Talmud is a section that is highly recommended to study for someone who wants to learn to be a prophet. In Chagiga is the famous story of the four who entered the Pardes, the garden, which is a metaphor dealing with traveling to other dimensions and other worlds. The righteous person receives the reward for having performed mitzvot during his own lifetime. And for those he helps, his friend perform while an Ibur inside of him. On the other hand, if the host person does evil, the righteous person will not suffer any punishment or loss, since he only came to help him, not to cause him evil. On the contrary, if this person negates what he rectified, then the righteous person will leave him. Thus, the righteous tzaddik easily attains reward for his assistance in the performance of mitzvot. At the same time, he is distant from loss, because he will not suffer any detriment or pain from the sins of the host, nor need to participate in the host's sufferings. If the person continues to act righteously, then the righteous soul will remain. The secret of Ibur is that it occurs during a person's lifetime and therefore does not bind the nefesh of the righteous tzaddik to the body. This is unlike a nefesh that reincarnates, that enters as a Gilgul from the time of birth, and is unified and bound with the body without exiting from there until death. On the other hand, the nefesh of the righteous tzaddik enters as an Ibur willingly and leaves at will. If the person continues to act righteously, then the righteous soul will remain there in order to receive a portion in the actions of the person. It will remain there until the host dies, when they will both go up to the same place as mentioned previously. However, if the person does evil, then the righteous soul will become disgusted with this union and leave it. He is not permanently there, but borrowed like a guest who remains with his host until he feels it is time to leave. For the same reason, the righteous tzaddik will not feel any pains that may occur to the host person, and he does not have to suffer them, because he is not attached to the body, he is only borrowed. His ruach and neshama will be worthy to be clothed by this nefesh. The rule is that a person who performs a mitzvah of great importance can merit an ibur of the nefesh of a righteous tzaddik from an earlier generation. As a result, it is possible for him to become rectified and purified to the point that his nefesh will actually become transposed onto the same level as that of the righteous tzaddik. Afterwards, a person will have to rectify his ruach and neshama to such an extent of purity that they will be worthy to be clothed by this nefesh. My commentary. This is one of the reasons that my teachers taught me, and I teach you, that for certain tools to work and other tools to continue to work, it is necessary to continue to grow spiritually. When one rests on his laurels, some of the tools stop working as an incentive to start your spiritual work again. This rule applies to an Ibur and a Gilgul, and also in other areas of the Gilgul. Do you understand the meaning and difference between the terms Ibur and Gilgul?
Not totally, but I'll get there.
Okay. Essentially, a Gilgul is the soul that incarnates, comes in at the moment of birth. And then for the levels, it comes in at different ages. But once it comes into the body, it cannot leave the body.
Okay.
An Ibur comes into the body not at birth, but at other times when it's doing a particular mitzvah or in anticipation of doing a particular mitzvah or when it needs help to do a particular mitzvah. That Ibur can leave when that mitzvah is over, or it can choose to stay and continue to help. Or if the person is falling spiritually by doing something evil, the Ibur will leave, so not to be associated with that. But that is the difference. There are souls who are stuck in the body, so to speak, because this is their incarnation, this is their connection and their purpose in this lifetime. And there are other souls, righteous souls, who come as a pregnancy, as an Ibur, that have a totally different aspect. They will stay in the body as long as the soul and the body are working together to grow spiritually. And they will leave when this no longer is happening. Continuing to read. The word translated as to be clothed indicates the Kabbalistic concept of enclothement, kitlabshut, and comes from the root that means to wear, as when it is said, he wears warm clothes, or he wore a new suit. Derived from it, for example, is the Hebrew word levush, which means a garment or clothing. The concept of hitlabshut is actually a derivative of the concept of partsufim, both of which are among the most important and innovative ideas in the Lurianic Kabbalah. Hitlabshut refers to the fact that the partsufim, or parts of the partsufim, are ensconced or enclosed one within the other, or dressed one upon the other. For more on hitlabshut, that will be explained more clearly later on as we go through the book. Then he will actually become transposed in his entirety onto the level of the righteous tzaddik, having ascended beyond the original root level of his soul from where he came. All of this is the reason for the help and assistance of the righteous soul. My commentary. In Kabbalah, it is taught that the vessel in the endless world before the world of Tikkun, and the vessel in the endless world after the world of Tikkun remains unchanged, except for the disappearance of the illusion called bread of shame. So how can a soul exceed his original root level? And the answer to that question, and then after that we will stop, because we're out of time. The answer to that question is the souls never go beyond the level they were at in the endless world, which is that of a tzaddik.
Mm.
But each person has the potential to grow to the level of Moshe, the level of being a totally righteous person, and will do so eventually, lifetime after lifetime. But this process can be shortened with the help of Iburs, righteous people who come and help that soul grow to a higher level than they were expected to get to in that lifetime. But ultimately, when we talk about a tikkun, we're talking about the share of the tikkun that is associated with this lifetime. And ultimately, there will be a last lifetime for that soul where they will reach the level that they have achieved the purity of returning to the level of being that they were in the endless world, in the Ein Sof.
Ein Sof.
Are there any questions?
No.
Classes tonight at 7 o'clock West Coast time will be a class in our Zohar from this week's Parasha of Vayetze.
Vayetze.
And then Saturday at 6 o'clock will be a Havdalah service. And at 7 o'clock, a Zohar class in the new Parasha, which is Vayishlach.
Vayishlach.
Mm-hmm. Sunday morning at 10:30, West Coast time, we will be studying preparing for the holiday of Hanukkah, which will take us a few weeks. So we'll end right up at the moment of the week of Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
But we're starting this Sunday. And then again at 2 o'clock West Coast time, we will be teaching the basic class having to do with a deeper level of the Anabatoa and the beginning of the 72 names. I bid you all shalom. This
shalom.
Shall be out. Take care.
Very, very good.
Shalom.
Thank you. Thank you.